Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, some information. You hear Ozzy, means we're going to talk to Greenberg. In Jacksonville, apparently Liam Cohen was very wary of working with Trent Baalke, and they just keep rolling with Baalke. Good luck with all that. More information. I've heard from Rally Captain, direct from the horse's mouth. Says he's working on a third bus going to Philadelphia. How many people on a bus, B? 60? 50?
Close,
80?
Close,
I don't know.
50 of 60?
It's three buses. I don't know. There's demand. And where there's demand, there's usually supply or vice versa. Hello, Neil Greenberg. How do you do, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Dude, I tried to credit you on social media, and I want to do it now in person over the airwaves. You're 2-for-2 in the playoffs, calling your shots with these Commanders. And frankly, I thought they were going to win in Tampa. I felt pretty damn good about that. Detroit, I thought they had a good chance. But you went one step further, and you said if they win, it'll be a blowout. You bet that they would win by 14 points. I hope you made a damn fortune and put those kids through college on that. Congratulations, man. You nailed it.
Thanks. You know, again, it's really just making bets based on where I think I have an edge, and I still don't think the markets have a true bead on how good Washington is or can be. I think the spread for them in terms of performance is so much wider than the other teams that it just makes a lot more sense to bet the extreme type stuff than it does just to roll with, like, Washington minus 6.5 or something like that.
Sure. Well, that said, I mean, obviously – last week is over. They won, and it's kind of moved forward now. And when you get that type of turnover margin, you should win by a big amount.
Yep.
Now we turn the page to Philadelphia, and I at least want to do my part to caution really, really optimistic Skins fans that Philly is quite good. And I think it says a lot that their offense isn't necessarily firing on all cylinders, and yet they still keep winning. I know that Washington can win this game. I am in no way doubting that. Washington can absolutely go to Philadelphia and win. They have the best player on the field in Jaden Daniels. But Philly is pretty damn good, especially in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest key is going to be, can they stop Saquon Barkley? Like, that is going to be one of the biggest points of this weekend. And if Philadelphia gets out to an early lead, they're going to be able to run it. And, you know, Barkley can turn small gains into big gains. This obviously is a really tough test for Washington. I think it's also tougher if Jalen Hurts is healthy, it's probably tougher than the Detroit matchup, only because, like you said, Philadelphia, really good in the trenches. They have an explosive running back. Washington's problem has been explosive plays, giving up explosive plays. But again, I mean, this is a situation where it's a winner-take-all game, and if Washington can get one or two stops, one or two turnovers, you know, I really do think that they're going to be moving on to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Let me ask you this question. So Washington started off, and we all had our questions, and then they've done some things this year that kind of made you change your mind a little bit. Is there anything that you can tell us that shows how good they are? Because I know the players on the team, that's their feeling. Hell, we're good too.
How good Philadelphia is?
No, Washington.
Washington. Washington's really good. I mean, they were historically efficient offense earlier in the season. That tapered off because it was historically good, and it's really hard to sustain a historically good offense. A lot of people were talking about the cliff, and I really do think that that was just your basic regression to the mean, right? Like, you have a team that was playing so far, not only over their heads, but also, like, historic norms, that they were bound to take some steps back. The defense started playing a little bit better. I mean, this is a good team that can go toe-to-toe with any other team in the league. And what we saw last week in particular was, you know, the teams that racked up the most yards weren't the winners, because it is football still, right? There are still mistakes that are made, and if you can capitalize on those mistakes, those sometimes become more important than the actual yardage itself. So I do think that the biggest thing Washington has going for them right now is a coach that believes in his players, especially on offense. And I don't think we can say enough about the aggressiveness on fourth down and how much that changes the possible outcomes. Because when you're looking at a fourth down conversion that extends the drive, which gives you more of a chance to score, but also the flip side is you could put your opponent in a really good field position. So far, Washington's been able to convert on those, and it's worked out for them. And there's really no reason to think that they won't be able to still convert a fourth and one and really change the complexion of a game.
It's the fourth down conversions, and their success at them has really, really started to stand out in the playoffs. And I think, you know, they had two fourth down conversions last week against Detroit. One where Detroit had 12 men on the field, so they got an automatic first down.
Yep.
Another, they had a 10-point lead, and the ball was at like the 11, and DQ still went for it on fourth down, and that's when they were able to get a double, you know, a three-score lead. How impressed have you been with Quinn's continued consistency to be aggressive on fourth down?
Oh, I love it. I mean, from an analytics standpoint, this is what, you know, we as an analytics community have been clamoring for, which is don't punt the ball away when you have a chance to extend the drive. And, you know, to Quinn's credit, it doesn't always work, and he still does it. Like, that to me is what separates him from other coaches. Other coaches may start to become less aggressive. I would almost say Quinn becomes more aggressive. Like, he knows he's an underdog. And I'm not saying, like, he doesn't believe in his team. I'm just saying, like, you know, he probably knows that his team, where his strengths and weaknesses are. So he knows that he needs to capitalize on his strengths, which right now is an electrifying quarterback and ability to extend drives. And by doing so, that has made them much more difficult to beat. And that's evidenced by their regular season success and also now their playoff success. You know, as like a betting person or as like a game handicapper, et cetera, like, we don't know when these fourth and ones are, A, going to happen, two, if Quinn's going to go for it, and three, what the outcome is. And I think that's why, like, from a betting standpoint, it makes sense to be aggressive with Washington in particular, because they really can become, they really are what fuel like a lopsided victory. And, you know, I think we would do it again. I don't know if I would be as aggressive with Washington against like I was with Detroit, but I am certainly looking at like Washington -2.5, Washington -6.5, because I do believe if they're going to win, they're going to win based on turnovers and other things that will help them run up the score a little bit.
Now, when you look at the fourth down, going for the fourth downs, where offensively – You can run the ball. You can throw the ball. You can have a run-pass option on the edge. It puts much more pressure on the defense. How difficult is it for a defense to combat that, especially in this day and age of you get a penalty for any time looking at a damn receiver?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, again, we talked about this before. Like, the options that you have, the more options that you have on offense, the harder it is for the defense. And if you can camouflage those offenses, the offense, and even get, you know, a half a second, you know, a half a second benefit in terms of making the defense second-guess themselves, that's the difference between McLaurin being covered and being wide open. I mean, like, we're in the NFL, it's fractions of a second, right? It's not actual seconds. So, you know, I think it's huge. And, you know, the way that Jaden Daniels has played, I mean, you know, I think, like, the national media has kind of is amplifying it now because they're in the playoffs and they're in the NFC Conference Championship game. But, you know, we watch this kid game in and game out, and this is who he is. I mean, he is ice cold, smooth as silk in the pocket most of the time, composed, and is able to do his part. And when you have that on any down, let alone fourth down, it just becomes a multiplier effect. We're not dealing with incremental type of benefits. These are multipliers because, you know, converting a fourth to a first, especially like near the red zone, is just a huge benefit to a team.
Dude, talking with our friend Neil Greenberg on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can follow Neil at N Greenberg on Instagram and on X, the People's App, whatever they're calling it. Greenberg, obviously turnovers have been a huge part of Washington's success, especially in the playoffs. They're plus six in turnover margin in the playoffs, but so are the Eagles. I don't know. Turnovers are almost fluky in nature, especially fumbles and stuff. How a ball bounces is pretty hard to determine, an oblong-shaped leather ball. But they got four turnovers from the Packers, including the opening kickoff. Then last week against the Rams, they got two. Washington obviously had the one in Tampa, the five against the Lions, which was incredible. Knowing that number, like, do you give an edge to one side or the other? Philly hasn't turned the ball over since that Week 16 loss in Washington where they turned it over twice.
Yeah, I actually just factor – I strip out turnovers altogether. Like, I never look at turnovers when I'm trying to figure out which team is better. Just for the reasons that you said. I mean, you never know when one's going to happen, and you don't know who's going to get the benefit from it. I think we can agree that there's probably going to be a key turnover in this game on Sunday, and whoever gets it is going to be in a much better position to win. But, you know, like you said, both teams have been good at getting turnovers. Both have had turnover luck. I think it's going to come down more to just Washington's defense not being awful. I think if the defense is okay, I think Washington has a really good chance here. You know, no one's been able to stop Saquon Barkley this season, so it's kind of silly to say, well, Washington, you know, needs to stop him. I mean, everyone needs to stop him. But right, as long as they don't give up, like, other explosive plays and don't make it that much more difficult on themselves, I think that they're in really good shape because Washington's offense can go toe-to-toe with anybody. I think as long as they're not dreadful on defense, they have a real good shot here.
I tend to agree with you. One of the things I've said a few times, and then I feel like it's so stupid to say, is, you know, hey, if they can just limit the explosives, right? If they can just limit the explosives with Saquon, they really got a chance. But if you look at the two games they've played against Philly, that saying that is a little, you know, but how is other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Like, the explosives are the story. And Saquon now, in two games this season as an Eagle, has 300 yards and four TDs. Like, the and in each game had at least two runs of 50 yards or plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 68-yard
run.
But
he had that early in the second game, and they shut it down in the second part of the game. And I mean, early in the game, but then in the second part, he didn't have much.
Yeah.
So whatever they did in the second part, they need to start off with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, like, you're not going to stop him. You just – you need to limit, I think – I mean, you just need to limit the damage from anybody else. And, you know, you look at, like, the game the Commanders won, you know, Barkley had the 68-yard rush, but no one else had a big, you know, like a long touchdown. And it wasn't you know, they didn't really give up, like, a lot of – big deep yards, and I think that's you know, that's something that you're gonna that the defense is gonna have to watch out for. You know, it's gonna be a tight game, I think, because this is the third meeting between the two. So I think that you know, the mistakes are gonna be amplified a little bit, and I also think it depends on when this big Saquon run happens. Like, if it's like the first quarter and he breaks off like a 50-yard touchdown, I think that's going to be demoralizing. But if they can, like, get through the first quarter and things are going well and it's like 3-0 or 0-0, you know, I definitely think that that type of outcome favors Washington, because then they can just start to bear down a little bit and, you know, do what they can to piece together the rest of the game. Yeah, I mean, Saquon's going to be a problem. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I agree with that. He's just impossibly good. And that O-line is really, really good. Let's go to a few specifics. How do you let the Jalen Hurts potential injury impact your viewpoint on this game?
Well, it's significant. I mean, it's already moved the line 2 points, you know, as we start to get more information. The look-ahead line was Philadelphia -6.5. The injury concerns with Jalen Hurts moved it down to -4.5. Now it's back up to -6.5. you know, obviously, not having to face Jalen Hurts is a huge benefit for Washington. But again, I mean, you still have Saquon Barkley there, and I almost think that if there is no Jalen Hurts, you know, the offense is going to shift more away from Kenny Pickett to Saquon Barkley. I personally think Jalen Hurts is going to play, but again, if he doesn't play the whole game, you know, we've seen Washington be able to win in that, and we also seen
and
Washington,
if his mobility is limited,
At least be competitive in the Week 11 game, because
50 out of 60 minutes.
Jaden Daniels, though, might not have been 100%, right? He was dealing with some rib stuff, and it was his worst game of the season. And so, you know, I don't really know how much stock you could even put in the two games they've played due to those circumstances, right? Jalen in one, Jaden in the other. I think it's going to be a low scoring tight game, and you know, it should be a really good one though. Obviously, win or lose, Washington, tremendous season, deserves every accolade that they've possibly gotten, and probably more so far.
Agree with that. A couple more injuries for you. Quinyon Mitchell and then Sam Cosmi.
Yeah, the Cosmi one hurts, right? Because the offensive line is going to need all – I mean, you need all hands on deck in the conference championship game. You can't you can't afford to lose anybody like that. That's a tough one. I mean, that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, Jaden Daniels has shown he can avoid trouble. Who knows? Maybe some pressure pushes him into a 30-yard rushing game. I mean, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, that's a tough one for Washington.
Okay, last one. I don't – you have more sources in Vegas than I do. I could text Bees, but he's got the flu. Can you confirm or deny or no comment if you have to, and I understand this might be a tricky spot for you. Do you have any information – on the announcement that Rev T is going to the game, whether or not that moved the Vegas line in the NFC title game?
You know, I was warned about this coming on the show that I wasn't really allowed to speak about it. But I, how could you not give it a little bit of a bump? Maybe like one half of a point. I think is probably what they're looking at, depending on where he sits.
There you go. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. I do have his ticket location, but that is obviously highly classified and a highly classified.
I mean, I'm not going to be like held in contempt of court over it, but I really shouldn't really talk about it that much.
Understood. So what's the official pick, Greenberg?
Washington minus 6.5. I'm going with an over.
Wow.
I believe in this team probably more. I mean, I can't jump off now. I mean, I've been, you know, I kind of had this team pegged from the start of the season.
You've been getting rich.
I think Jane Daniels is really good. And I just think that Washington has one more in them.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
That's our boy, Neil Greenberg. He's got him winning by a touchdown, and he has been on fire. Coming up, Ike Reese at noon, and then we are talking to Daryl Green today, 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Landville, I just cracked a Diet Coke, baby. And me and B just ate a bunch of double stuffed Oreos. Well, I had a bunch. B had one.
Yeah. I left the rest for Jay.
I'm in full body train wreck mode where I'm just grinding this season as long as it goes. Working 19-hour days and it's gonna be caffeine and junk food pretty much fueling me through.
See if I can find me some caffeine.
Lauren did make some chili. We can split that bowl of chili if you want.
Nah, I got food. Don't worry about that.
All right. Well, the team's also providing food today. They are going to practice indoors today, which is what
I don't blame him.
It's what I expected.
They gave you warnings about being outside too much.
It's butt cold.
Frostbite.
Also, Wednesday is really kind of a walkthrough. And especially this late in the year, like, you're going to see a lot of rest, like a lot of guys getting rest days on the injury report. Mm-hmm. This late in the year, dude, if you're doing a walkthrough that is really probably, not to say low energy, but not a lot of physicality, you know how cold it would be to do a walkthrough outside? like you're just walking around.
Hey, man. Some people had to do it back in the day, but right now, I'm glad you have options.
Now, tomorrow's your big, long practice, right?
Yeah.
I would think that is outside.
Something needs to be outside.
Yeah, because you're playing outside.
Yeah.
And Friday tends to be pretty quick, so I would expect tomorrow to be outside. I almost wonder if Philly's inside today, too. Maybe we can find that out with Ike a little later.
Yeah, they have an indoor facility, and they're going to utilize that just like everybody else does. But you got to give one of those days outside. Well, then again, today is in the teens, and it feels like it's a single digit.
Let's do a temp check.
It was 17 when I first got here this morning.
It was.
But it's going to be 40 degrees on Friday, Sunday, supposedly.
Right now, 16 degrees. We got to get Cameron on later in the week. Cameron's coming up to Philly, B. Dude, we're doing a live show Saturday night, Doug and I, on NBC from 7 to 8. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
I can't invite you on it because you're going to be at a Mardi Gras party.
Yeah.
Which will be, I imagine that'll
what
be fun,
time
too.
Is it?
The show is 7 to 8.
If you give me a 7, I would be okay. No, I can 7 to 8, I'd be good because really the stuff starts flowing around 9.
Where is it? The big one at the Hilton?
Convention.
Oh, wow.
Convention. No, that's the Washington Mardi Gras. But this one is the crew of Pyros. So it's a lot of Louisiana folks who do this thing together. They raise money for educational their scholarships and things like that. But it is fire.
Yo, Easter's really late. Is Fat Tuesday next week or something?
It's after the Super Bowl from what I'm hearing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so we got time. Yo, yeah. Imagine if it was Mardi Gras or Super Bowl weekend right now in New Orleans with the weather they're getting.
They'll find a way to make it. They'll find a way to melt the ice.
All right, live temperature check in Ashburn right now on my phone. 16 degrees outside.
Feels like.
Well, you got a feels like guess.
I'm gonna go with 8.
I was gonna say 8 too. It is cold as hell out there. Landfill and White Brian. You got a feels like guess.
That's an oxymoron right there, isn't it?
Yes, you always
cold
say
as
that,
hell.
And I always say it.
Yeah,
cold as poop. White Brian, what's your feels like guess?
That's
44.
Not cold either, Jay.
Ooh.
You say what?
44?
6.
White Brian, are you an idiot?
That was Landfill. My guess is 6.
Okay. Landfill just being an ass today.
Landfill's off to be an ass
44? Nah.
This is, I don't know enough. It's actually warmer out. The feels like is warmer. It says humidity is making it feel warmer. It feels like it's 19 instead of 16.
See, I
because it's not that windy.
I argue with that a little bit because humidity is because of moisture.
Right.
And that's why I tell you, in Louisiana, up here, I don't wear a lot of heavy coats. When it hit 30 degrees in Louisiana, I put on the biggest damn coat I could find. Because I've been told that moisture affects you when it's hotter because it make it all muggy. And when it's colder, it makes it damn frigid. I don't know.
I don't know either, B. I know that air in Detroit was freezing. Like that maybe we were closer to the Arctic.
Detroit
it felt more
felt
Arctic.
Good after the game when me and Tanner were walking to find out this little bar, we didn't really feel cold. I guess we were so hyped.
When I got out of there later, I was pretty hyped, but I was cold.
Well, we were walking kind of fast too, because we knew they had told us that they were gonna be closing in about an hour. And they were ordering us a drink early, so when we get there, we could catch up. So we sat down. We ordered doubles.
Sure.
Two doubles and just sat down. And we walked back out again. I didn't feel any cold.
Let me ask you a question, because you have mentioned this a few different times. Over the course of 120 minutes against Philadelphia, right? They played two 60-minute games.
Yep.
Over the course of 120 minutes against Philadelphia, and I'm speaking in general terms here, so you correct me if you disagree, but I'm just kind of – I'm estimating here. Of 120 minutes, I bet Washington has played pretty damn good defense on Saquon Barkley for 90 minutes. For like three quarters of game time against Saquon, they've been pretty good.
Yeah.
You take more solace in the three quarters of game time that they can continue that, or the explosives are so damn dominant that he's only looked good for a quarter of the time and been that big of a factor?
I think the explosives are things that automatically put points on the board, automatically make it tougher for you. You have to combat that. But if you can alleviate those explosives, he gets one explosive and then you hold him down the rest of the way. With your offense, you give yourself a chance. You know what I mean? In the first game, for almost three quarters, he did nothing. And then he got crazy late in the game. Why? Because we were not efficient as an offense. In the second game, he started the game off on fire. He finished it feeling like it is outside, cold. So basically, he's played two quarters spectacular against them. And the other six, he has not.
It's been fine. Some kind of way.
Well, 41 yards in three quarters is not fine. That's not good for him, for what he's capable of.
Yeah.
If they can, some kind of way, start with what they've done to be able to hold him down those other quarters, but keep it up for the most part. Listen, a lot of times when Saquon goes the distance, it's not because it's just that blocked it well. Somebody takes the wrong damn angle.
Sure.
We saw in the game against Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs going up the left sideline. They try to go inside. You're not going inside and back outside and catch him.
Right.
Run straight at his outside to slow him down or cut him off. You got to take the right angle. Or when you hit him, if you can't tackle him, don't just shoulder him. Wrap up and hold on. I guarantee he can't run 62 yards if you wrap around his waist.
The splits from that game are nuts. At halftime, Saquon had 13 for 123 and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He was averaging 9.5 yards per game with a 68-yard touchdown.
That's the second game.
This is week 16.
Yeah.
This is the one they won. At the end of that game, he had 29 carries for 150 yards. So that means...
So he had 13 for one, so he had 16 carries for 20-something yards the rest of the way. Think about that now.
I mean...
16 for 27. The rest of the way. The thing about him is he's going to turn.
Now, how much did that change with Kenny Pickett out there? I don't know.
I would think with Kenny Pickett, you want to give him the ball more.
Right, but like maybe Washington adjusts how they're covering and can commit more to the line of scrimmage.
And I think the ultimate.
I think they could do that this weekend,
too. The thing this week comes down to where is Jalen Hurts?
Right.
It comes down to that. If that leg bothers him, you can bring somebody else into the box. Listen, that offensive line of Detroit, our D-line whipped them. They got to find a way to do something. And I know Philly's line is way better, okay? But you showed something against an offense that was dominant all year, last week. You can't take a step back from that.
I think one part of the dominance in Detroit was fool's gold specific to Detroit. I think one part was not, and we'll tell you exactly what it was when we come back. It's Beamish and Finley. In the fight for truth and justice, I actually looked some numbers up, and I fear as a group we are remembering something a little more optimistically than the reality suggests. Washington did a very good job against Saquon Barkley in the second half of the home win, week 16.
Yeah.
His splits in that game were 13 for 123 and two touchdowns in the first half. And the bulk of that was on two carries in almost...
In the first quarter, he had 109 yards.
Right.
Just remember that.
The game here, it really was two big explosives and then a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
He had 13 for 123 at halftime. Two of those were two big explosives. Second half, he was 16 for 27.
Yeah.
So they really did a good job in the second half, and really the final three quarters of that game. Unfortunately, I think, myself included, I think we are remembering the performance week 12 in Philly a little more optimistically than reality suggests. Because we remember it as he just busted those long ones late. In the first half, he was averaging 5.5 a carry. In the first half, he went 13 for 73.
Okay.
Then in the second half is when it went nuts. 13 for 182 and two touchdowns.
And a part of that because the offense was not anywhere efficient.
And I think Jaden was probably hurt.
Yeah,
then.
If the offense is more efficient, he don't get all those opportunities.
Yeah.
That's what I'm remembering. I understand what he was doing, but if you look at where the game was sitting.
Sure.
The points were not there for him. The thing about him is you can't allow him to have the explosive and run a touchdown. He's going to get a 15, 20-yard run somewhere in there. But if you can stop him getting to the end zone, now he has to turn it out. But if your offense is efficient, you take away some of what they want to do. And that first game, we were not efficient as an offense by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, in that game, what the heck? I just had it up here. Oh, shoot. Washington's defense is for real at this point.
Yeah.
Like the ability to create turnovers, they have hammered them on that throughout. I don't think that's fluky. Philly hasn't turned the ball over in a month. If you can get turnovers, it's going to change things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is very real. The fool's gold to me, and I'm curious if you agree, they ran the ball really well in Detroit. It's the first time in 6 weeks they've ran the ball really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, to me, is Detroit-specific and not necessarily doesn't have me expecting them to run the ball really well again this week.
Say that again.
They ran the ball really well against the Lions.
Yeah.
I think that had more to do with the Lions' defense than it did necessarily with their offense. And I don't expect the same level of success in the Washington rushing attack that they had in Detroit.
May not be. And it may not be like it was. But we've seen where we run the ball inside and sometimes we get stifled. But we still have success, whether it's Jalen or somebody else. I mean, Jaden or somebody else. I'm at the point
now. And the way they're using the quick kind of passing attack,
the quick passing game helps out, and that's a part of how they do it. For me, I am no longer looking at it where we got to have the yards from the running back. I'm looking at it as long as we move the ball and get first down, that's all the hell that matters. If it's Jaden, if it's a quick pass, whatever. If you keep churning out first downs and moving the ball, that's how you have success. Because when we go for those fourth downs normally that ball goes in the air. It's not always a run. It's a quick little pass, get you those 2 yards, 3 yards, maybe a yard, and you keep the clock, to keep the ball, keep possession of it, and you move down the field. That is where we got to do. We got to get to the point of worrying about first downs more than how you get them.
I agree with that. Time of possession, first downs, staying on the field, kind of maintaining possession is the right course for this offense. And they've proven a way different ability to change things up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that will have a massive impact. I mean, if you look at like time of possession and all these things, in that Eagles game going back to week 11, they lost time of possession in that thing. They also had the only turnover in that game. But I think so much of that game was Jaden was hurt, man. And I know that everybody wanted to say he wasn't, but like he had the injury against the Panthers, then he was able to hit that Hail Mary. But that stretch of offense, kind of late October, November, that is not what they look like again now.
No, they're a different team now. Far, far different football team.
I am very excited when we return. Ike Reese joins us from Philadelphia. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We'll be right back.